Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Movie Chatter. This is episode number 177, and I bet you've got two questions on your mind right now. Number one, what is Movie Chatter? And number two, what happened to the first 176 episodes? But we're going to get to that in a few minutes. First of all, I am Eric. I'm one of the hosts here at the Random Chatter Network, and I am joined by two other hosts tonight, which I'm going to introduce. We're going to introduce this show to you, and we're going to jump into a discussion topic. Lou, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited we're bringing Movie Chatter back.
I'm ecstatic about this. It's been ages. Plus, I'm not on any other podcast with you anymore, so...
That's right. I know. We started out, you drugged me into this whole thing.
Yes.
And we don't do any more shows together. So this is great that we're doing one together again.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. Tim was doing the Random Chatter interview season two, and he asked me, okay, so just to get the story straight, how did Lou get onto the show? Like, how did that happen? I said, I don't know.
He said, I don't remember. That he's going to have to ask me that question sometime and see if our answers match.
Well, I told him flat out, I said, you'll have to ask. Lou will remember it. All I know is that it happened during Lost Chatter, and it kind of feels like Lou's been here the whole time. So I don't, like, there's, the whole start thing is just kind of fuzzy. It's just Lou's always been there. Even though you haven't.
He's the kind of guy that was hanging around, and all of a sudden he just became part of the surroundings.
Right, like the fifth Beatle, who just never quite made it into the pictures, the photos and stuff. But he's there. In the background. No, we're great. We're glad to have you on Movie Chatter, and I can't wait to go forward with this. Now, we also are going to take advantage of Movie Chatter to introduce a brand new host to the network. I say brand new as in, like, officially brand new. She's made some guest appearances here and there. But we have Robin on the show with us. Robin, how are you doing tonight?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing fantastic. I'm so excited to be on the show. You have no idea.
Awesome. I'm excited to have you on the show, too, because you actually know what you're talking about with movies, whereas Lou and I just kind of fake it. So,
yeah, I don't know about that, but I'll give it a try.
All right. Well, first, what we're going to do is the format of the show is going to be that we're going to talk a little bit about news. And then we're going to jump into a discussion topic. So the news for this week really is just... Hey, we have a show. So for the news this week, we're not going to get into actual movie news. We're going to get into news about Movie Chatter itself and what you can expect from the podcast going forward. Now, I did mention that there were 176 episodes before this. This is actually bringing back one of the original spinoff podcasts from the Random Chatter Network. In fact, I think this was the first spinoff ever. We had Random Chatter and then we did Movie Chatter. And that was so that we could have a movie review show that was separate from the news shows, because way back in the day, we're talking like a decade ago, Random Chatter alternated between a news episode and a movie review episode and back and forth. And we decided to split those up. After a while, I had turned the reins over to Andrew and Morgan. Some of you longtime listeners might remember them. They were the most recent hosts of Movie Chatter, and then I would appear occasionally. But we are picking up from there. Now, some of you also remember the Movie Rampage podcast that Tim and Lizzie did, which was a great show. And to honor them, we're going to kind of mold some of what they did into this. Now, they just had some, you know, scheduling conflicts and stuff like that. There was nothing wrong. Everything's fine. Lizzie and Tim are still around and very active on the Random Chatter Network. And so if you enjoyed what Tim and Lizzie did with Movie Rampage, hopefully you're going to enjoy what we're going to do with Movie Chatter. Now, the format. We are going to, like I said, we're going to discuss some news. It will not overlap too much with Random Chatter, so don't worry about that. Okay. Plus, you know, we have slightly different hosts on the show, so there'll be a little bit different commentary on what we discuss. But the news on Movie Chatter itself is going to be primarily about upcoming projects. Like, hey, they just announced Avengers 5 and stuff like that. And it'll also be about industry news. Topics like... I don't know, new 4D movies and surge ticket pricing and MoviePass getting even more financially bankrupt than they already have been, and things like
directors
that.
Directors getting fired.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in the industry, and this is not going to be primarily a news show, but we will kind of just briefly touch upon some of the bigger topics, and then we'll move into discussion. Now, the discussions will be primarily about content. They're going to be about the actual movies. We're going to do reviews and discussions, analysis. We are also going to talk about genres in general, and our favorite types of romantic comedies, or our favorite time travel movies, or things like that. Occasionally, we will talk about industry news as a discussion topic. We're going to leave most of that to the Random Chatter Show, but every now and then there will be something that's so prominent and so movie specific that directly affects moviegoers. And so we are going to talk about those topics here on this show as well. All right. So that does it for the news segment for this show. And that's probably, it'll normally be a little bit longer than that, but it's going to be kind of brief because this show is really about discussing movies, what we like about movies, reviewing particular movies, things like that. So for this first episode, we want to take this as an opportunity to kind of get to know the hosts a little bit better, especially Robin, because she's brand new and she has a little bit more background in movies than Lou and I do, other than just watching them. So as the new host, we're going to put her on the spot a lot because cool. It's fun.
Whew, off the hook.
Yes.
I'm sweating. Okay.
Yes.
I can do this.
All right. So, we want to talk about what we like about movies and what makes them a part of our lives, what we consider to be a good movie, what qualities a movie needs to have in order for us to consider it a good film. And before we get into that, Robin, you actually teach a little bit about film. Is that correct?
I do. I teach an introduction to film class at a local college facility, and it's generally a survey type of class connected with a radio, TV, broadcasting, digital film, comm arts type of academic program. So we talk a lot about production, how movies are produced, studios, backing, funding, all sorts of things. We run the gamut. And of course, we talk directors and genres, and we do a fair amount of analysis. We watch 13 to 14 movies every term. We watch them all together. We critique them. We write about them. And then as a culminating activity or final exam, if you were, all of my students have to write an alternate ending, which they present to the class, of a film that we have seen together.
Oh my gosh, I would love that final exam. Mm. I got to say, if my statistics course involved watching more movies, I would have liked statistics a lot better.
Yeah, I would have too. But
so
yeah.
But you also cover the content of the films, or is it primarily more the industry related and the crafting of the films?
It's both. We try to stay a little bit away from simply just individual opinions on content. Uh-huh. And we really try to understand a huge amount of understanding the director and his or her motives, and how the director brings the story to life. And why things take place when they do. Hmm. So it's enlightening to watch students tell you by the end of the term, I always hear this, I'm never going to see, watch movies in the same way I ever did again. Sometimes I ruin movies for them forever. they either love me or hate me for that, but, it is what it is.
Let's see, that makes it really tempting for me to find ways to, just by discussing something, ruin movies for people. That's
just evil.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my mad scientist side coming through there.
Yes. Well, when you unmask the magic behind, when you talk about secrets and trade secrets and how they made this sort of thing happen, fascinating discussion always revolves around when I show Jurassic Park. And I tell them the different types of animal and or sounds that went into the creation of the vocals for the, you know, for the actual creatures. And that's when I usually hear, well, you've ruined movies for me forever. Thank you very much.
You know, I think most of our audience, though, are probably of the demographic that would appreciate that. So yeah. I think that on this podcast show, we will probably discuss a little bit, you know, that sort of behind the scenes sort of thing. And I think most of our listeners will appreciate it. Most of the feedback we've gotten from people over the years have been that they are more more than the average consumer when it comes to movies. They like kind of sinking their teeth into it a little bit. So, all right. Well, without further ado, let's go into the actual discussion itself. So when we review a movie, which is something we're going to be doing here on the podcast quite a bit, what are the criteria that you look for? I mean, a lot of people, you know, actors, directing, things like that, the writing, like there are kind of some standard categories that people look at when they go to review a film. And then some people are just like, I liked it or I didn't like it. But when it comes to more critical analysis, what do you guys, Lou, I'm going to start with you. What factors do you look at when you are sitting down to actually think about how you want to present a movie to review to people?
I guess it depends on the movie itself because, you know, some movies are popcorn movies. Some movies just want to go and enjoy and have a fun, entertaining time and be entertained. There's a difference between, to me, a difference between being entertained in a movie and being fully engrossed, really looking at all the details and all the, you know, the minutiae from the acting, the dialogue, the pacing. That's a different kind of movie for me when I'm looking at something.
Yeah.
If that makes sense to you. So, you know, if it's a movie that I'm going to be giving more review to than just, hey, it was a fun popcorn action movie that I enjoyed seeing, I'll probably never see it again, then it's going to be, you know, the acting, it's the dialogue, it's the story content to it, making sure that it's not something that, to me, I don't want to be spoon-fed the story. I want to be
right
involved in the plot and understanding what's going on, but not just, okay, I can see it coming, you know, from the opening scene, or I'm so lost, I don't know what's going on.
Right. Okay. I can agree with that. I think the story itself, the writing to me is something that I guess when I look at critiquing a movie, there's writing of the overall story, the presentation of the story, and then there's the writing of the dialogue. And for example, with the Star Wars movies, I've always felt that the story itself typically is pretty good. Sometimes the dialogue's a little rough. But so there's that. Related to the storytelling, I think pacing. For me, the pacing of a movie is a big thing. I understand that stories need to have highs and lows. You need some intense moments, and then you need to step back and allow for some exposition to kind of calm down and reassemble the board, so to speak, put the pieces where they need to be to then build up for the climax and et cetera. But I think there are some movies that the pacing kind of breaks the movie. And some movies, in fact, the pacing's too intense. You don't really get to absorb any of the movie because it's just at a breakneck pace all the way through. And like you said, Lou, sometimes if it's just a popcorn film, that's okay. But it kind of depends a little bit. And then, of course, you've got acting and directing, and you've got overall production quality, too. I think for me, those are my factors I'd look at. Robin, what about you? What do you look at when you're sitting down to actually review a movie to present that review to people?
Right. Well, I like I'm more focused on the storytelling rather than the dialogue. Like, you know, like you talked about, it's got to have sequence and scope for me. So if the director, I really like trying to figure out, and again, this is the academic in me, what the director was trying to get me to see, believe, or understand. And I am very much a visual person. So while I wouldn't necessarily call it production that grabs me, definitely being drawn into a particular scene or a particular moment into a movie visually. And it could be a very low budget, low production type of movie, but if the right scene qualities are there and the visuals are there, it can suck me right in, and a director can hold me there for a little while. So it really is, for me, it's about the director, and having that director just pull me into his mind.
Without getting too specific, because I'm sure this is stuff we'll talk about further in depth as we get into particular movies, but are there maybe two or three directors that really stand out for you as favorites in that regard?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, other than the really biggies, you know, clearly there are some people you have to like. Hitchcock, Kurosawa. We were talking about this
right
prior to you coming on here.
I've still never seen a Kurosawa film.
Oh,
I know.
Haven't lived.
I know.
Get out from under that rock. But, yeah. Truly, like, I do have a favorite director, and most people will not agree with me. It's Kenneth Branagh. I like his eye. Mm-hmm. I like his wit. I like his attention to detail. He blows me away every time I see a film that he's directed.
Okay.
Just a standout for me.
All right, Lou, I would ask you the same thing, but I didn't want to put you on the spot. I knew she'd have an answer prepared. I didn't know if you would.
I don't have any favorites that I always go to. I mean, there's a lot of directors that I respect. You know, Rob mentioned a few already. You know, Tarantino comes to mind. I hadn't even thought of the Kenneth Branagh, but he's got some amazing stuff that I've loved. Was it one of the first ones he did? What was the movie about the murders with the scissors?
Yeah.
I keep thinking Edward Scissorhands, but that's...
No. I know what you're talking about.
It was a great, fantastic movie. I just can't remember the name of it. But, you know, he's got some good stuff. And there's a lot of guys that just do really, really good movies. But I find myself drawn to a lot of the independent stuff, a lot of the smaller stuff that doesn't maybe have a name brand behind it, per se. But I want to build on one thing that Robin said a minute ago. And kind of a question for Robin, the mention of how a director can hold you there and keep you there. How much of a change was it for you watching movies to have the edition of DVDs come out where we got director's commentaries?
I don't play them. There's a relationship. There is a relationship that exists, and the only time I will listen, I will do director's commentary or something, is when I'm going to highlight something in a class that I'm teaching, and then I will bring the students into the director's mind that way. But if I am watching a movie,
So if you can't get it from watching the movie, you don't want it.
I don't want it.
Okay, I totally respect that. I totally get that. Wasn't the answer I expected from you, but I totally get that.
And that's something that's really important, too, that I want to point out for our audience, because those of you listening right now, your perspective on things, the approach that you take when you're watching movies and how you appreciate a film might be different from ours, and that's fine. Robin's very director-focused. I'm very... like I said, pacing and kind of the flow of a movie is really important to me. Lou has other things he looks for. And, you know, I know Lou's really into director commentaries. I am too. Robin is not. There's no wrong way to watch a movie as long as you're getting out of it what you want to get out of it. So don't think as we start to present analysis and stuff, if we start going off into different things that aren't the way you'd look at stuff, that's fine. We're trying to present different insights and different perspectives to give you exposure to different ways of looking at things. But we're not saying that this is the only way to look at things. We're not saying that this is the right way to look at things. Okay. We're just presenting different perspectives to you. And we want you to do the same for us too. You're going to send us feedback, hopefully, on these episodes and let us know what you think and how you look at things differently than we do. That's kind of why we're here, is just to present different points of view, different perspectives, and that sort of thing. You know, I was looking through IMDb while Robin was talking here about Kenneth Branagh. I forgot that he had directed Murder on the Orient Express last year.
Yes, he did.
I really liked that.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen that.
It's good. Brilliant. And I had no background on the story at all. I hadn't read the books or anything, a little bit before my time.
I even read the book in preparation for it, too. I just never got to see it.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
See, I'm glad that I didn't read the book because I appreciate the story, like knowing the spoiler. I appreciated the movie better, I think, not knowing in advance. But Lou, did you ever think of what that movie was you were thinking of?
I didn't think of it. I looked it up.
Fair enough. We do that sometimes behind the scenes while we're recording. We're like, oh, shoot, let me pull up IMDb.
That's our extended mind, because I don't have a good mind anymore. But yeah, Dead Again was a movie I was thinking of.
Yep.
It was
1991.
One of his first director
movies. I remember that.
Early on. He did Henry V and Twelfth Night before then, but yeah.
Okay, yep. And it was just a fantastic thriller movie that had a good twist at the end. I loved it. I mean, those are the kind of movies that make me think and really engage me while I'm there.
Exactly.
You know, something that makes you think and you can't guess the ending is awesome for me.
Yeah. Anything with a good plot twist. I think that's probably, if you've got a really, really good plot twist, I will forgive a lot of problems in a movie. But that's just me. I think it's because I feel like the more you watch movies, and television is kind of the same way, you start to see a pattern in the storytelling, and then things become predictable. Sometimes it's okay because, I mean, let's face it, when I watch Star Wars, I'm not watching it for the plot, right?
Right.
So, right. I can get around it sometimes, but if I'm looking for a good story, so much of it is either derivative or so painfully predictable. That if you can throw in a really good plot twist, I'm all in.
And even though usually for some movies, if there's a good plot twist, people are like, okay, it's one and done. I can't watch it again. I don't want to see it again. If it's really good, then I will watch that movie over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So then the more logical sequential piece of my mind starts to kick in and like, oh, he had to do that in order to do that at the end. I get that.
Sure. It's impressive to go back a second and third time and try to figure that out. And in fact, we talked about this on Random Chatter not too long ago about my kind of love-hate relationship with M. Night Shyamalan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, you know, he did that first movie and had that twist that you went back and you went, oh my God, he really did it that way. And now I'm looking for a twist in every one of his movies, and sometimes they're not that hard to figure out. And it's like, okay, I'm done. I get it. when I'm a half hour into the movie or something.
It's funny. I remember back when it might have even been on Movie Chatter. Brian, one of our earlier hosts, and I went to see The Village, and we sat down, and the opening scene comes up. Like they had the title card. And the camera pans up over everybody outside for this picnic with the first few seconds of the movie. And I lean over to him and I said, and this is going to spoil the ending. So if anybody doesn't want to know, skip ahead, like, I don't know, a minute and a half or something. I leaned over to him and I said, wouldn't it be funny if this whole movie happened in present time and they were just like out in the woods and didn't realize that there was a world around them? And then that's exactly what. And I just like, I didn't believe that that was actually what was going to happen. So I'm not like claiming that I figured it out. It wasn't figuring it out. It was just like, wouldn't it be like silly if he just went and did that? And then that's exactly what he went and did.
I have to think that because the way he's done movies, that thought was in your head.
Yeah. And you start to think, okay, what's going to be
somebody
the
else?
Big...
You wouldn't have thought about that.
But to be fair though, The Sixth Sense was the type of plot twist I really like, in the sense that it changes the movie when you watch it again.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of what, like, along the lines of what you were talking about, Robin, when you can go back again and watch it and say, okay, in order for this to have worked, these things had to be set up the right way. I didn't see them the first time because I wasn't looking at them that way. But now that I know where things are going, I can see how all of this was planned out and it made sense. And could I have figured it out on my own? If it, like, you start looking at that sort of thing about the crafting of the story.
The crafting of the story and the elements that need to go in to support the crafting, you know, the sounds that have to be there, the tiny movements, the flicker of an actor's eye, those kinds of things are to me what make a movie worth seeing. And if it's a really good movie, I want to see them over and over again. There are some movies that I refuse to see in a theater that I'm, you know, I'm like, nope.
Why
that's
is that?
That's a home movie. For me, first of all, I hate crowds. I had never gone to an opening night of anything until I met Tim. So I don't.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Robin is Tim's wife. I guess we didn't point that out at the beginning of the episode here. We got some nepotism going on the network. So,
absolutely.
But so you've never gone to an opening weekend until meeting Tim?
No. And he convinced me to go. It was a opening night of, and I can't remember what the Star Wars movie was, you know, back when we were dating. And he said, you know, if you got to do this, the Star Wars fans are the best fans to do it with. So, you know,
that used to be the case.
They're very respectful and, you know, and for the most part, you know, absolutely. But I don't do crowds. And so if I'm going to do that, sit in a theater with 75, 100 or however many other people, it has to be big screen worthy. You know, it's no secret that I hate rom-coms. I will never go to see a rom-com in a theater. There's no reason to do it.
Yeah.
No, rom-coms and quote unquote chick flicks, even though that's not, you know.
There's a certain type of movie that there's not an inherent benefit. Like there's not a technological benefit of seeing it on a really large screen with Dolby Atmos surround sound and IMAX. For those who don't know, IMAX is actually a certification. It's not a screen size, but like, you know, IMAX sound and IMAX visual, right. Like it's just, it doesn't matter. If I'm basically going to see a comedy, for example,
it doesn't
matter. But there's another phenomenon, and I'm sure there's a name for it, and I don't know what it is because I didn't look it up because I didn't think we'd go off on this tangent, which is another thing we're going to do here on the show, like we do on most shows on the network. It can be lots of tangents. But there's a phenomenon about seeing a movie in a theater with a group of people that seems to, there's a certain crowd effect, and it seems to be more prominent with comedies. People have been shown to laugh out loud more when they're in a movie theater than if they were to watch the same movie at home. And I, from a psychological point of view, I find that fascinating, but I question whether or not there's any usefulness to that, but, it's interesting.
Yeah. I have the same kind of thoughts that you guys do on what is movie screen worthy, I guess you'd say. And for me, it's usually, you know, big budget action, you know, science fiction, anything with a visual element to it, I guess I'll say. But there are the occasional movies that I will go see in a theater just because it's date night with my wife, or it's something that, hey, you know, it'd be fun to go see a comedy on a big screen in a crowded room.
Like, yeah, sometimes saying, it's more about the outing than it is the movie.
Yep. Yep.
That's fair.
That's the only time I'd go see those if it wasn't, you know, big screen worthy, in my opinion. So,
right.
But I've done, you know, like we did, We're the Millers. We saw it at a theater. I'm very glad I did because it was an hysterical movie. We enjoyed it. The whole theater laughed out loud. And I wonder how the mother was going to explain some of the scenes to her 10-year-old kid she brought with her. But, you know, that's beside the point.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Don't get me started.
It was a lot of fun. But you know, the other thing, Robin, too, and I think Tim has said this, that you guys don't have any of the newer theaters with the bigger recliners and the more spaced out seating. I think you'd enjoy a movie a lot more actually in those theaters because you don't feel like you're in a crowded theater. You know, I only go to one theater around me here now because it is a newer theater with the big recliners, and you sit down and it's like you're in your easy chair in your living room.
Yeah,
there's space between you and the people next to you.
It does mitigate the claustrophobia feel a little bit. It does feel a little more intimate in the right theater with the right setting and all that. It doesn't eliminate it entirely, but it does mitigate it.
No, but it makes it a lot better. Well, as a matter of fact, after I've been going to this theater for maybe 6 or 8 months, I went to another theater closer to my home. I was like, okay, I'm never going back to this theater again because the experience just wasn't fun anymore. I'm like, I'm sitting in a small chair. There's people right next to me. I'm like, you know, I want this armrest, not you.
Right.
You know?
There's nothing worse than having to fight the people for the armrest. That's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. I went to see Deadpool 2 opening night, Friday, matinee. And I went to the theater here, which I hate the theater here, but I had Movie Pass and I had a Regal membership. So every 2 or 3 movies, I ended up getting free drink and free popcorn. So, you know, when you're on a budget, that sort of thing adds up. So that was cool. I go in and I wanted to get the tickets and they said, yeah, we're not showing Deadpool 2. I said, how are you? You're a Regal theater. It's definitely going to be the biggest movie this weekend. How are you not showing Deadpool 2? They said, well, we're closing tomorrow, so we didn't get the film. I said, wait, what do you mean you're closing tomorrow? There's no signs like closing, final weekend, nothing like that. Yeah, no, we're closing. So now I have to either drive almost a half hour north to the next town to see it in a rather crappy theater, or I get to drive a half hour south to go see it in an Alamo draft house, which is not too shabby. So yeah. I'm okay with that, except I ended up getting rid of the Movie Pass. But another thing that kind of ties Movie Pass and what you're saying, Lou, and a future topic together. Another thing about what makes a movie theater worthy, in my opinion, comes down to price too, because there are some where I might be on the fence, but when you start taking into consideration the ticket price, now for me, an hour round trip in the car plus gas and then all the concessions and stuff like that, what might have otherwise been theater worthy now isn't anymore. So that's another factor.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
And then the topic of surge pricing has come up again, because I mean, this is something theaters were talking about doing. MoviePass has now started doing it. Though by the time we get to our next episode, MoviePass might not even exist anymore.
I was going to say, MoviePass may not be around anymore.
Wow. There was some breaking news earlier today, I think it was, about the fact that over the weekend, MoviePass, people were finding they couldn't go see Mission Impossible with MoviePass anymore.
Right.
And MoviePass is now not going to be doing any of the tentpole films or the big films. And I'm thinking, well, what was the point then?
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about that a little bit later down the road, because I think there's an argument to be made about surge pricing that while, it's going to inflate the ticket prices for things like Star Wars movies, it might lower the prices for movies people otherwise wouldn't see. And so is that going to be a benefit to people? But we'll talk about that some other time.
In that same discussion, we also talk about the fact that a lot of the movie houses themselves doing their own, clubs per se,
that's
where you
true.
Get, a ticket at reduced price every month, or a free ticket every month, and you get reduced ticket prices on top of that and stuff, and reduced concession stand prices.
Right.
I recently, pwned it for one of those because it just made sense.
Okay. Yeah. When we get to that, which hopefully we'll do very soon, I'm curious as to what your experience with that has been. I was using MoviePass and then canceled it just before they started changing everything. And then we'll talk to Robin at that point too, to see whether or not any of these sorts of perks or promotions would change her interest at all in going to the theater, though it sounds like probably not, because it sounds like it's more an experience thing for you than it is a pricing or a perks sort of thing.
No, exactly. I mean, I'll drive an hour to go to a decent theater to do Rocky Horror Picture Show with a bunch of people that I know, rather than, go to see, I don't know, fill in the blank movie at my local place. So it's about what am I going to get out of it? And is there going to be connection? So I'm very picky. I'm actually very picky about what I will leave the house and go and do and go and see.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's good to be picky. But let's let's talk a little bit about that, though, the experience and what we're getting out of the movie, because going back to all the way back, way, way back to the episode immediately prior to this of Movie Chatter, which is probably like a decade old now, Andrew and Morgan were very much more interested in the art house movies, the very much the artistic side of films and the creative expressions and things like that. And Andrew was actually a film student at the time, if I recall correctly. And there's an argument to be made about the artistic side of a film and the creative expression of the writer and the director. And then on the flip side of that, there's the popcorn movie, as Lou likes to call it, the fun movie, which I like to think of the Michael Bay films as kind of the epitome of that. They're horrible films, and yet they always bring in like $200,000-$400,000 at the box office.
It's so funny.
So, I mean, there's got to be something about that that works, that makes people want that to some extent. So where do you guys fall on the spectrum of appreciating the artistic creativity of a movie versus just wanting something that I guess is more of a form of escapism or fun? Where do you guys fall on that? Robin, we'll start with you.
I'm going to fall in the middle. I don't like industries that prey on my conscience.
Okay.
So, and sometimes I feel like if we're making the, you know, art distinction, that there's some implied force saying, well, if you were anybody, you'd have gone to see this movie.
Yeah. There's a certain level of snobbishness sometimes that comes along with that.
Yeah. And I'm just not that kind of person. Mm-hmm. I really try not to fall into that trap. Because then I don't enjoy myself, because I feel like I should be there rather than wanting to be there. That's why my earlier, you know, disclaimer about not very many people would consider Kenneth Branagh a great director. But I do, you know, and I think it would be in that, you know, film school elite sort of attitude of, well, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, name dropping Akira Kurosawa is not because I like the art necessarily of his films, although his films were pure art. The guy used a storyboard on canvas in order to get his vision out there for everybody to see and the actors to sort of buy into so that they could create it. But I enjoy Kurosawa because he genuinely moves me. You know, if I am in a melancholy mood prior to watching a Kurosawa film, then that mood is tripled by the end of that film. But I know that, and that's what I am moving myself to go and do. You know, I clearly want to plumb the depths of that. Otherwise I would not have chosen to watch, you know, a Kurosawa film. And then the other side of it, the fun side, I think the fun movies I leave for here at home, or, you know, what we call here on the farm, outdoor movie night. We've sort of shied away a little bit from some outdoor movie nights, but certainly in the summertime, we at least once or twice a summer drag the whole clan outside and we show a movie on the side of the our machine shed. And so it's, you know, extra huge, big screen. We sit outside, we have adult beverages, sometimes a bonfire, and, you know, and then each one of us gets to pick a film and hopefully it'll get shown at some point. So
even Tim,
bet you can guess. Generous. Yeah. Let's just say this year we will not be showing Ant-Man for outdoor movie night.
I think that you should use that as your pick
for a weekend and do that. I'm going to pick Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what?
I think you should have like a network pick. And
that's right. That's right. I mean, yeah. You know, so, but like, we'll do outdoor movie night at Casablanca, you know, mm-hmm. So I guess in that's kind of the fun piece for me, but okay. The bubblegum movies, those are throwing the DVD after a long day at work and, not even pay attention to it while I'm playing a match 3 game on my iPad.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Lou, what about you?
I said it before, I'll say it again. It kind of comes down to my mood. I mean, I enjoy all those kind of movies. You know, popcorn movies, as I call them, are probably more accessible sometimes, depending on, you know, you can see those almost anytime.
Yeah.
You know, some movies I have to be in the mood to go see. Mm-hmm. Or you have to be, you know, alert and awake and ready to, you know, be engaged. Sometimes you just don't want to be engaged. You just want to be entertained. And I think there's a time and a place for all those.
That's a really good point, too. I think you could say mental state. Because that would incorporate both the mood, because mm-hmm. that's a big factor in whether I want to see something. That a lot of drama films for me are more about, am I in the mood to sit and watch this sort of thing? But then also, am I awake? Am I alert? Am I running on 3 hours of sleep and a rough day at work? Or mm-hmm. am I well rested and I'm willing to actually sit and be focused on this? I'm not distracted. I mean, that's another factor. So I think mental state, especially for when you start getting more toward the art side of the spectrum. I'll tell you right now, I don't go too far toward the art side of the spectrum in such as, you know, movies by directors nobody's ever heard of, or a lot of foreign films and things like that. I do like documentaries, depending on the topic. And I have no problem with foreign films. I'll sit and watch something that's subtitled or dubbed, and that's fine. But there are people who are really focused on that art house sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's not really me. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, I do prefer movies that are a little bit more creative. And I also like the fun popcorn stuff, too. The visual effects films, the big tent poles. And that's fine, but I agree. It's much more, what am I looking to get out of it? Am I looking for escapism? Am I looking for something that's more mind-numbing, just to kind of pass the time? Or do I really want to get something meaningful out of a movie? I watched Pacific Rim, the second one, the other day, and it was okay. But I didn't go into it expecting to get something meaningful out of it. I expected something that, like you said, Robin, I could sit and have in the background while I'm doing something else on my iPad, while I'm, you know, going through Discord messages or things like that.
Right.
But I think it really depends a lot on what it is you want to get out of those movies. So what makes a movie good to you when you walk away from a movie? And we've already talked about the fact that it depends on what you wanted to get out of it in the first place. And sometimes that'll be more the popcorn stuff. Sometimes it'll be something that's more a creative expression from the director. And I'll tell you know, going back to the art versus fun, a lot of times, you know, Robin, you were talking about this smugness that some people have. There are some movies like Mother by Darren Aronofsky. I haven't seen it, but I had the whole thing spoiled for me. And with Aronofsky, for me, it's very hit and miss. I like some of his stuff. I don't like some of his stuff. I respect what he's trying to do. He's very much about, he has a vision and he's trying to use creative ways of getting it across. A lot of times I just don't care. It's not that I don't get it. It's yeah. just, right. I don't care about what he's trying to say. So there's also that aspect of it too. Some people are, oh, you just don't get it. No, I get it. I don't care about what he's trying to say.
Right.
Mother was one of those where after I had, you know, there was so much hubbub about, so much controversy about it. I said, okay, I'm not going to get to see it in the theater. I don't have the opportunity to. I'm just going to go get it spoiled so I can keep up with the conversations. I got it spoiled. Excuse me. I got it spoiled and realized, yeah, I'm glad I didn't sit through this. It's just, I wouldn't have cared enough about what he was trying to say. I care about the concepts he was talking about, but I didn't really want to get preached at. So there's that element of it sometimes too. But anyway, I digress. when it comes to what you get out of a movie and you walk away from it feeling fulfilled, what is it that creates that for you? What elements, what do you typically want to get out of a movie when you're looking to get something out of it?
Oh, see, for me, it's a total loss of time. Like, I want to, the minute the movie starts, I want to completely forget that I exist in that small little theater chair, and that the people around me exist. I want to be pulled in immediately and, you know, shaken up in whatever way. And then at the end, I want to go, oh, why, wow, that was like 2 hours. That was, it seemed like 5 minutes.
Right.
And again, whether it's a comedy, you know, I could watch Bad Boys, you know, both movies, you know, 2-3 times a day and have that same experience. You know, it just sucks me in, even though I can recite most of both of those movies. It just sucks me in and, you know, holds me there and then releases me at the end, almost as immediate as it sucked me in. And it's not a director thing. It's a story thing. So, you know, there are some movies that, directors who I adore have made and I've been like, yeah, okay. So, you know, so it's not that I go to see a particular director to have that happen. I go to see that chemistry, and I go to have that relationship.
Okay. Lou, what about you?
For me, it's a lot of what Robin just said, but it's all about the story. It's something that I want to be so involved in the story that's being told to me on screen that I'm trying to look, you know, around the edges of the screen to see if there's more content that I can get. I want to be that involved in the movie that when it ends, I get there and go, wait, no, there's going to be more. You know, I want more of this story. Not that they left something out, but just I want more of this.
Right.
You don't want to leave that world.
Right. For me, one of the most recent movies that comes to mind that did this for me is Inception. I want to learn more about that whole world and how things worked and what was going on. And it just, I can watch that movie over and over again. And it sucks me in every time.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, a movie like that, I have to be, like Eric says, though, I have to be in a mood because to watch it, like, I love the movie, but it confuses the bejesus out of me. And I get so lost in it that I'm like, whoa, wait, I've seen it maybe 10, 12 times and I still cannot, I won't lie to you. I don't completely understand the movie.
Yeah.
And it's a good movie. And so for that, it's good. But like, if I were to sit down right now and look at the DVD selection that we have, I mean, it's in there and I'd be like, no, I don't feel like that tonight.
I'll say it's one of those movies that if it's on, it's going to make me sit down and do nothing else but watch it.
Yeah.
It's not one of those things I can have on in the background. Like I can watch a lot of things. So if it's on, it's like, okay, I just lost the next hour and a half, 2 hours, because I'm going to be sitting here watching just that and doing nothing else.
Right. Even if you do understand it, it's undoubtedly a very complex movie that you can't not focus on if you want to actually get anything out of it. It's deep, it's complex, and that's good. I mean, Inception is one of my favorite modern movies, I think, just because to me, what I like to get out of a movie is, it's very much about the escape, like you were saying, Robin, and typically that's what I'm going for. But if I can also walk out and want to talk about the movie, if I want to go find someone to say, what did you think about it? What about this? What if this means that? Like, if there are still things to explore about the story after you walk out, then typically that goes a long way toward making a movie good to me, about making the experience worth my time, because the experience is then continuing after the movie. And I like that. And Inception was one of those movies where I mean, I had to watch it a couple times before I truly feel like I got it, and I felt comfortable that I understood the point of the ending, and I was able to keep up with the different layers of things throughout, like when they're playing music at one point and then they go into the dreams and you realize that this really slow moving music in the background is actually the original piece. It's just going really slow. Mm-hmm. And you almost felt like it was just more background noise until you figure out, oh, that's actually that same piece, just slowed down by 10 or 15 times. And I like, you know, we talked about Shyamalan. The Sixth Sense was one of those movies where you walk out and you start thinking about all of the different things earlier in the film that led up to the reveal at the end. For me, that doesn't inherently make the movie good. There's got to be other things beyond that. But a lot of my favorite movies include that element that goes a long way toward me feeling like it's a good movie. And that's what, when it comes to, I mean, I guess there's two different questions. What makes a movie good to you? But then what do you want to get out of a movie? What I want to get out of a movie is a continuing experience. Mm-hmm. That's what mm-hmm. I want. I want to go and discuss it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I can tell you what the types of movies I won't go see are the types of movies that, you are forced to fall in love with a character and then that character is somehow brutalized in front of your eyes. And so yeah. It's that kind of, that's why I don't, I will not watch horror. And in fact, when I teach, the film class and we do the horror genre, I actually show Get Out. It's technically classified.
Phenomenal movie. Yeah.
Yep. It's technically classified as a horror film, but it's a horror film that I can get through because it mm-hmm. is cerebral. It does have a point, you know, it's got this social justice bend, and enough complexity. But you know, slasher films, horror films, I can't, yeah. I just won't. Anything that'll give me, you know, extreme nightmares. Yeah, done. Not worth it.
Now, Robin, I'm going to task you with this in case it falls off my radar. Remember Get Out. I want to make that one of our discussions coming up pretty soon. When it comes to the movies mm-hmm. that we're going to cover here on Movie Chatter, I think that as we kind of get up and running with relaunching this show here, I want to go back over 2018 and 2017 and take a look at some of the more prominent films and discuss some of those. We are going to be covering things that are in the theaters as well, but we also want to focus on things that are more accessible to everybody that a larger part of our audience has probably seen by now. So a lot of it's going to be things that are maybe for the more new releases, a lot of times that might be more newly released on DVD or newly released in iTunes or something like that. Mm-hmm. But Get Out is definitely one that I want to keep near the top of the list. But I want to ask you this, Robin, and because this is one that maybe you've seen, maybe you haven't, maybe you would like and maybe not. Have you seen A Quiet Place?
I won't.
You won't?
No.
Oh, that's sad. Because I would love to hear homework, what you think of it. I mean, we are going to be talking about it on a show because, I mean, maybe we'll have to bring in a guest for that one. But
I mean, part of it was shot 20 miles from my house. Part of it was shot in Little Falls up here. But I mean that's a borderline one for me.
Okay.
So I, maybe, you know, I can drag Tim with me and he can hold my hand.
That's a shame because I would love to hear her perspectives on that one. To me, that's another one that it's technically a horror movie, but, and unlike Get Out, there are definitely some kind of sci-fi horror aspects to it, but it's so it's about so much beyond a horror movie. It's not a traditional horror movie. It's really something else that then kind of happens in that environment, if that makes any sense. Mm. So, and then there's a lot of things about the crafting of the film that I find fascinating too. So. But, you know, that's another one we'll get to later on. I want to know a little bit about kind of wrapping up the discussion here that's also kind of in part an introduction to us as hosts and where our perspectives lie with movies. I want to know your favorite genres and a couple of examples of films if you want, and then also genres you don't like as much. Now, Robin, you said that you're not into rom-coms, what would be traditionally classified as a chick flick, and you're not into horror movies, especially the more slasher
right.
horror movies, right?
Right.
Okay. Are there any other genres that you really don't like? And then what genres do you like?
I'm not a big fan of documentaries because I'm a firm believer that they don't exist. So,
they do have a lot of spin. I'll give you that.
Yep. And somebody is always making a decision. Somebody is making the decision to turn the camera on, to turn the camera off. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I want to do that, I'll turn on, you know, a AM chatterbox radio station and listen to someone preach at me. But, you know, I understand their value, but just not something I'm going to run out and do. I'm huge fan of sort of action type thriller kind of movies, those big blockbustery kind of movies. Definitely sci-fi, otherwise I couldn't be married to.
That's my husband. True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very fond of the original, sort of the classic film noir.
Okay.
So if there is a snob in me, there it is. And comedies, you know, but you know, like particular kind of comedies. I'm not a Dumb and Dumber kind of comedy gal. I'm more like a Bad Boys kind of comedy, and you know, my guilty secret is I really don't like Deadpool, but you know, you don't need to share that with anybody.
She almost made it through her first episode. Wow.
So yeah.
That's worse than the Ant-Man thing with Tim. That's not
I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Don't out me. I know he's going to listen to this episode.
Oh, does Tim not know that?
Tim does not know that.
Oh, he does now.
Lou, you're going to have to go next because I'm still, my heart still hurts.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can watch almost anything as far as genre goes, but you know, my favorites tend to be you know, the science fiction, the space odyssey type stuff. Time travel is in a special place in my heart that I will watch even bad time travel movies, of which there are a lot. So yeah. You know, if it's time travel related, I will watch it, and usually I'll groan through some of the bad ones, but I still just love the concept. I love different people's takes on that, you know, plot device. So yeah. For me, it's awesome to watch those. But you know, I'll do action movies. I'll do, you know, comedies. I'll do, you know, even dumb comedies. The only thing I really don't really watch is musicals, I guess.
That's Greatest Showman, not for really, you.
I haven't seen it. I've heard good things about it. I probably will see that one, but.
Just think about singing, dancing Wolverine. That's all you get.
Okay.
How much blood is there in the movie, though? I mean, is it really Wolverine?
Above and beyond that, I mean, I think any movie that takes a new and inventive take on something, whether it's just a slightly different version of an action movie, or, you know, something that was done different, tends to, you know, hold my interest.
Yeah.
Most recently, I think it was probably John Wick, as far as a different take on it. It was different than you ever seen before in an action movie. And it was like, wow, that really opened my eyes. And it was something I hadn't seen before. I think we talked about that movie when we were doing the Flick Fights series with Nathan from Flickchart. And you guys are like, oh, you got to watch this. I'm like, I haven't even heard of it. And
talk about a movie that was so under the radar.
Yeah. I'm like, this is amazing, you know? And, just a new, fresh take on movies is something I look for in general.
Okay. You know, that's not really a genre per se, but that and plot twists, Mm-hmm. Not really genres, but those are two things that I really like too. And mashups as well. Robin, you mentioned Get Out, kind of a horror movie, kind of more of a drama, social commentary. A Quiet Place for me is another type of movie like that. Dark City is one of my favorite movies of all time. And back to the commentaries, I'm not a big Roger Ebert fan, but he does a commentary on the DVD. It has two different commentaries. One's by the director, Alex Proyas, and one by Roger Ebert. And he really opened up a lot of things about the movie and how it was crafted and how it was presented in the way different shots were framed and stuff like that, that made me see things in it that I didn't see before. So that was one of probably my favorite movie commentaries too. But Dark City, you've got a mashup of science fiction and kind of a detective noir sort of genre. So I really appreciated that. Mashups I like. And typically because they are, like you said, Lou, there's something different. I can't do musicals at all. The only musical I really enjoyed, I think, was the South Park movie.
Oh, good Lord.
I mean, that's about it. I can't do it. Just, it breaks the fourth wall immediately for me, because nobody's going to be walking down the street and all of a sudden break into song, and then everybody around them breaking into song. I'm like, I'm done. It just, you broke it.
Have you been to New York? Because that happens occasionally.
Have you met Tim? Because, you know, you put the music onto Roxanne, and that guy will break out into song no matter where he is.
Really? Writing that down right now.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, this is good. Yeah. I'm going to like this podcast series.
We need to have a random chatter.
Blackmail list?
Oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
We can
God.
Do that. You know, I mean, we've been doing the random chatter theater thing. We could do that sort of thing. Already, we just got to get people to show up. We still have to. Oh, speaking of mashups, one of my all-time favorite movies, and I am going to go out on a limb. When it comes to me recommending movies to people, sometimes it's a little difficult because everybody is so subjective, especially when it comes to comedy. I mean, that's the one genre where
it's
really subjective.
You're not going where I think you're going, right?
No, I'm not going with Kung Pao Enter the Fist.
No, because I still haven't watched that. You haven't maybe watched it, but the other one.
No, this is another one you haven't watched. Oh, did you think I was going Team America World Police?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. No, that was more of a we're going to have fun with Lou sort of thing. No, that was me being sadistic. This is different.
That was 2 hours. We'll never get back.
I know, right? But you had to at least like check it off your list, though. You had to get through it. Now, there are times where I make recommendations to people where it's the type of thing I don't think they would typically like, but this is an exception. And I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to recommend to Robin Dale and Tucker versus Evil.
Is this going to be like a Dumb and Dumber kind of thing?
No, because Dumb and Dumber was so over the top, slapsticky sort of
Bill and
of
Ted's
thing.
Excellent Adventure.
I think this is far better.
Okay.
It's a mashup. It's a horror movie. It's a traditional 1980s Friday the 13th slasher movie. Okay. These college kids, you know, they're boozing it up and smoking weed, and they go out in the woods and they're doing the whole partying thing. Well, there are these two guys, Dale and Tucker, one of whom is played by Alan Tudyk, by the way, one of my favorite actors. Mm-hmm. And they're rednecks, and one of them bought this cabin out in the woods, and they're taking their fishing vacation. And what happens is a series of almost just kind of accidental, unfortunate events end up happening to these college students who believe that these two redneck guys are like serial killers. And they keep dropping like flies around these guys. And these guys are like, wait, what just happened? I don't know. This guy was attacking me. He like dove right into the wood chipper. And I don't know. And then his friend started screaming when I'm trying to pull him out by the legs. And because then to the college students, it looks like he's shoving him in.
Gotcha.
But I'm doing a really bad job of describing it. But get on YouTube and watch the trailer. I don't think Tim has seen it either.
Okay.
And that's a requirement of Tim, or we're kicking him off the network. We've already had this discussion with him, so you might as well watch it with him too.
I'm sure his ears are ringing.
Probably. But like, that's another, because it was so different and I'd never really seen that sort of take on things before. I liked the mashup thing. Lou, I also like you. I love time travel movies. Even the bad ones are okay. I like dystopia movies, the kind of post-apocalyptic sort of thing. For me, though, that depends. It's got to be a good one. Mm-hmm. If it's a good one, then that genre automatically elevates it even a little bit higher. I like the idea of kind of the world being reset. Everybody's back to an even playing field. Doesn't matter how rich you are, how educated you are, what you have in life. You know, everybody's kind of on the same level and trying to survive. I kind of like that sort of environment. Again, there are a lot of movies out there that are really badly done.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, those can border on preachy.
Right. They can. That's the other thing, too. And I like science fiction. Probably is overall my favorite genre. But Lou, I'm going to call you out, too, because I gave you two time travel movie recommendations, and I don't know if you ever got around to seeing them.
Which ones?
One was, I think I recommended Time Crimes.
I saw Time Crimes.
Okay, good, good. And the other was Time Lapse.
I don't think I've seen Time
with
Lapse.
With Danielle Panabaker from the Flash TV series.
Okay, nope.
And trying to figure out how to describe it without giving away too much. The concept basically is these three roommates discover that someone kind of across the way from them is taking pictures of them, but then the person disappears or something. So they go and break into this person's garage where they see the camera lens from, and there's this big machine, and it spits out a picture every morning of the upcoming morning. And but the person's disappeared. They don't know if they're dead or whatever. So they try to use this to kind of take advantage of things. Like they'll write something on a piece of paper and hold it up to the window so that it's a picture of it, but that will have been there the previous day so that they can use it to go like win the lottery, et cetera, whatever. And things kind of get out of control from there.
Hmm.
It's a lot of times it's on iTunes as a 99-cent rental.
Okay.
So you might luck out and see it that
almost
way.
Anything's worth 99 cents. So.
And it used to be on Netflix. So check there too.
So Lou, let me ask you a question. Lou, I think you both said you don't like musicals. So is it that you don't?
That was putting it gently.
You don't like the sound of music type of musicals, you know, Singing in the Rain, Sound of Music, Oklahoma, or is it that? Because like one of my favorite films of all time is Pirate Radio. Now, I don't know. Never seen it.
Nope.
Neither have I.
All right. So it's,
I'll go out on a limb here and embarrass myself. I don't think I've heard of it.
I've heard of it, I think.
Let me hit IMDb and see if I'm just not remembering.
Yeah. So it is not a musical per se, but the movie wouldn't exist without the music in it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This is Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
I've not seen it, but I know of this. But that's not like, they're not.
I wouldn't consider that a musical per se.
But you can't see that movie. Like, you take the music out of it.
Right.
The movie is not the same.
That's okay, though.
It's not the characters singing.
Yes, the characters are not portraying the story by performing the music. And here's another thing. If there's music on stage, then that's okay. So the Glee, the television series.
Right.
When the kids from the show choir are performing.
Right.
That's fine.
Okay.
When they're walking down the halls on their own and break out into song, that's what bothers me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's the same thing with movies. So Pirate Radio, it's on my list of things to see. I've never gotten around to. And you're saying it's one of your favorite movies. I'll actually, on that recommendation, I'll bump it up higher on my list. I would be okay with this.
Okay. Yeah, and it's not classified as a musical,
Freddie Mercury's upcoming movie. I plan to go see that.
Yeah.
Having music.
There's another one with Oh, I'm drawing a blank now. Who's the... go on, I'll think of it in a second.
Okay, having music featured heavily in a movie is okay. Mm. It's just for me, if that is the dialogue, then to me, it comes across as really kind of cheesy. And again, to me, it breaks the fourth wall. Like the recent Muppet movie with Joe Siegel, Amy Allen. I like the Muppets, and so I sat through that one. I'm kind of okay with that one more out of a nostalgia point of view. And the songs were really good, but it's a musical.
Mm. I still think you guys got to see Greatest Showman. I'm sorry.
And that's on my list of things I may someday. See that,
but it's one of those things where it'll be on my list and I'll never end up seeing it because I'll never sit down and say I'm in the mood to sit through a musical.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you got to get over the fact that you can't look at it as I'm in the mood to sit through one. It's, I want to watch one.
But I don't.
You got to get past that. Yeah, I know.
I don't ever. That's the thing.
Movie I was thinking of, that, again, not really a musical, but it has music as the main part of it, is the upcoming Star is Born with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga.
Oh. A remake.
I'm not really familiar with that one.
A remake?
Yeah, it's a remake.
Christopherson and Barbara Streisand.
Yep. It looks really good, and it's a movie with music in it, but I wouldn't consider it a musical.
Right.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. All right, where were we? I completely lost track of the show notes. I don't even have them open here. I've got IMDb open. I guess that's basically about it. Mm-hmm. So, we're running a little bit over an hour now, so we probably shouldn't talk too much more beyond this point anyway, or we'll be here all night. One of the things we want to do is, if we're going to be talking about a movie coming up, we want to give you guys a heads up of what we're going to discuss so that you have a chance at home to watch it before we record the episode. And even if we're not going to do a movie, if we're going to do top five list of something, because those are always fun, we want to give you a little bit of notice on that too, in part so you can send us your feedback and let us know what your top five favorite X movies are. And then we can maybe include some of that feedback on the show as well. So I think what we're going to do in the next episode is we are going to go over our favorite 80s movies. We are all from a generation who could appreciate 80s movies. We were kind of around for that time period. So I think that, and really for me, the 80s is when I really got into movies. I was probably about 12 or 13 years old. Didn't really watch many movies up until that point in my life. Came from a really conservative household. Parents got divorced. And all of a sudden, I had access to all of these movies. I think I saw every movie that came out from 1985 to 1990. Just religiously watched everything. So I'm really looking forward to that one. I think Robin and Lou are as well. But let us know what your favorite 80s movies are. And then we're going to discuss Get Out, coming up pretty soon. I'm going to find some kind of way to sucker Robin into watching A Quiet Place. I don't know how. I really don't know that I'll succeed, but I'm going to find a way.
I'll do it.
Taking one for the team. One
she should watch is Cabin in the Woods.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe I forgot about that one.
It's more on the horror side of things, though, but it's a really good movie.
All right, here's the deal, gentlemen. You have to watch The Greatest Showman. It changes things up quite a bit.
Okay.
If you watch, I'll tell you what, if you watch Cabin in the Woods, and I think you'll appreciate A Quiet Place a lot more than A Cabin in the Woods.
All right, I'll watch A Quiet Place, you watch The Greatest Showman.
Okay, deal.
Wow.
I didn't agree. Lou did. So that's we've only got to do one for one there. That's good.
Eric hasn't said a word.
I'll watch. So if you do that, I'll watch The Greatest Showman if you watch Cabin in the Woods.
Okay. With all the lights on easy. And my husband sitting next to me with my puppy surrounding me.
I think Tim might have seen Cabin in the Woods. I think he has. I'm not sure.
Oh, it's creepy. It's a horror movie in general. Look behind Robin.
Ugh. No. Damn it.
Oh, because he's coming through. Yeah. She's like, you're just messing with me. She turns around. She's like,
just creep me out there for a minute.
Yeah, what people can't see because we're doing this on a video call is Tim is walking up behind Robin right now. He's trying to be polite and not open the door to the room because he knows that she's recording. That's very polite of him.
Yeah.
But another thing we're going to do, like I said, is we're going to go back over some of the bigger movies from 2018, some of the upcoming movies. I know the Mission Impossible movie just came out. Teen Titans Go to the Movies just came out. We got to talk about that one.
Okay.
We don't have to talk about that. I have to go see that with my son tomorrow. So Tim is there. You want to ask Tim real quick if he's seen either Cabin in the Woods, A Quiet Place, or Tucker and Dale versus Evil?
Have you seen A Cabin in the Woods, A Quiet Place? No, he hasn't seen A Quiet Place. Or okay. Tucker and what?
Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
No,
he looks completely confused.
No, he's saying no.
Okay, good. So it'll be experience for both of them. All right. So favorite 80s movies is going to be next. We're going to probably take, we'll be flexible on the numbers, but probably like our top five, no more than our top 10. So, all right. So send us your feedback. Let us know what you think of this first episode and what kind of things you would like to hear us cover on this show. You can email us at moviechatter@randomchatter.com. We have an Instagram and Twitter account for the network. It's just at Random Chatter. I'm on Twitter at Eric Blythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE. Lou, where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Lou Skywalker. That's Skywalker without the E.
All right. And Robin, do you have any sort of social media presence at all?
I don't, by virtue of my profession, but
very smart.
Yes,
I wish I didn't.
But I am on Discord at Dr. Raven.
All right. Which, by the way, if anybody wants to join our Discord server, they can do for free. You can go to randomchatter.com/Discord. And we have different channels there for each one of the different shows on the network. Now, for the people who donate anything at all through Patreon, even just $1 a month, in fact, that's what most people donate. All of that money goes directly to the network itself. It doesn't pad our pockets or anything, just to help defray expenses. But every person who donates anything at all through Patreon, that unlocks like another 60 additional channels in our Discord server for you. So for information on how to check that out and learn more about it, go to randomchatter.com/Patreon. We would love it if you would help support the network, not just through considering being a Patreon donor, but also just by telling other people about us, leaving us reviews in iTunes or wherever you're getting this podcast, retweeting us on social media. Let people know that Movie Chatter is back. And it's been a really long hiatus, but let people know about the show and what you think about it. And if you think they should be listening, tell them why. And tell your friends about us. I know a lot of you, when you go to see movies, you go with other people and waiting in line isn't so much a thing anymore, but you are sitting around watching these stupid commercials that pop up for 30 minutes before the movie starts. Most people talk through those, as I would too, because they're boring. And as you're talking to people about those, tell them about Movie Chatter. Tell them about the show. And that is going to wrap things up. The music you hear in this podcast, unless I decide to change it at the last minute because I'm still kind of experimenting with it, will probably end up being Secret Agent Business by Blue Stolly. And I highly recommend checking out Blue Stolly's stuff. You can find it at fixt.com, F-I-X-T.com. And Asilius' Sentence Sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Until next time, take care.